This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbian, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices,
where this evening we are having a pig in.
Okay.
Oink, oink. Explain what that means.
A pig in as opposed to a pig out?
Yeah. Well, we're pigging out at the pig in because we're celebrating the Queer Voices holiday.
Well, you know, we did get one of us got an email perhaps objecting to celebrating the initial spirit of the holiday. Well, your mic fell out, didn't it? There you go.
Well, it really had nothing to do with the holiday.
Oh, okay.
It was a good excuse to do something.
We'll get to that later in the program.
But we're eating food because we're celebrating something.
Jack. Yeah. We're not letting you do anything.
Oh, hey, and Jack, are you here?
That's Jack Valinsky.
I'm Jack Valinsky.
And there's J.D. Doyle.
Jennifer Renee.
I can't see you pointing on the radio.
I know.
But she's doing it anyway.
I thought we were going to introduce one another. I thought that's what they were getting at. Let's try it again.
Okay.
Let's not say we did.
And you're whoever you are.
It doesn't matter. Jack, why don't you...
Let's start this all over again before we lose the last two listeners we have.
And we weren't even drinking.
I'm Jack Valinsky.
I'm Jennifer Renee.
I'm Deborah Bell.
J.D. Doyle.
And Glenn Holt.
And tonight's program, Matt Laughlin's going to be here, and he has received the Jefferson Award due to his work in AIDS Housing Coalition of Houston. In the second hour, J.D. has...
Queer Christmas music, the music you won't be sick of by now. That's my radio voice.
I call it the homo holidays.
Oh, homo for the holidays. In all of that, plus This Way Out in the first hour. So it is our Christmas show. Well, actually, this is one of our Christmas shows.
We will be on the air Christmas Day.
Actually, we're going to be on 3 hours
this
Christmas.
This is our Hanukkah show.
Okay.
Kwanzaa? Yeah. Anyone?
Well, that's after.
Okay, we could do that.
The following week. And, of course, New Year's.
I've got a Kwanzaa song for next week.
Oh, great.
A queer and Elliot Kwanzaa is here, too.
Queer Kwanzaa. Hey, what a concept.
Do you want me to call in on the 25th?
Yes, call in.
Call in for the 20th. Tell you what it's like in D.C.
We may not answer the phone, but call in.
I'll be in Washington, D.C. for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, now that we've done all that, let's go to News Wrap from This Way Out.
Okay, we can do that.
I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending December 16, 2006. Three LGBT advocacy groups were granted consultative status this week by the United Nations Economic and Social Council. The European region of the International Lesbian and Gay Association, or ILGA, will now be allowed to participate in the work of the UN as a queer-identified non-governmental organization. Two of ILGA Europe's individual member organizations, Denmark's National Association for Gays and Lesbians, and Germany's Lesbian and Gay Federation, were also granted consultative status. The Australia-based Coalition of Activist Lesbians had until now been the only LGBT organization to be given such access. Patricia Prendeville, executive director of ILGA Europe, called her group's achievement truly historic, saying that this is the best recognition of LGBT rights as human rights that LGBT activists could have received. The move follows by just days a statement sponsored by Norway at the UN Human Rights Council and supported by 53 other countries, urging that forum to address sexual orientation and gender identity-based discrimination. According to a statement issued by ILGA itself, at least seven other LGBT groups are planning to apply for UN consultative status in 2007.
But the High Court in Dublin has rejected a lesbian couple's lawsuit to have their Canadian marriage recognized in Ireland. Catherine Zappone and Anne-Louise Gilligan, a couple of more than 20 years who legally married in British Columbia in 2003, charged that the concept of marriage, defined as being between a man and a woman in the Irish Constitution, is outdated. That document was drafted in 1937. Justice Elizabeth Dunn, however, dismissed the case. In her 138-page ruling, she acknowledged that gay and lesbian couples may face discrimination, but said legislation amending the Constitution is their only remedy. The High Court in London also denied recognition earlier this year to Canadian-wed British lesbian couple Celia Kitzinger and Sue Wilkinson. The court declared their union to be a civil partnership under a UK law that took effect in December 2005. That legislation gives same-gender couples virtually all the rights of marriage, except in name.
Sweden's dominant Lutheran Church has announced that it will bless registered gay and lesbian partners starting in January. Individual priests will be permitted to opt out of performing the ceremonies, but the local church will then be responsible for finding another priest to officiate. Sweden's 1995 partnership law grants registered same-gender couples all the rights and obligations of marriage, except in name.
In the U.S., both houses of the New Jersey state legislature this week approved a bill to give same-gender couples all the rights of marriage, except in name. A civil unions bill passed the Democratic-controlled Assembly 56-19 and the Senate 23-12. Governor John Corzine, also a Democrat, has said he would sign the measure into law. The bill was drafted in response to an October 4-3 New Jersey Supreme Court ruling giving the state 6 months to extend all the rights and benefits of marriage to gay and lesbian couples. But the court mandate allowed lawmakers to decide whether to call such unions marriage or something else. The legislation extends to same-gender couples all the rights and privileges available under state law to heterosexually married people, but does not use the word marriage or even spouse anywhere in its 60-plus pages. Queer advocacy groups argue that the civil unions bill creates a different, inferior institution and that leaders steamrolled it through the legislature even as public opinion in support of full marriage rights was growing. Stephen Goldstein of Garden State Equality told reporters that he was glad for the progress but not very satisfied, adding that his and other LGBT advocacy groups would continue to fight for complete marriage equality.
New Jersey will become the third state, following Vermont and Connecticut, to create civil unions for same-gender couples. California has domestic partnerships that grant similar legal status. The state legislature passed a marriage equality bill in 2005 that was vetoed by Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. A similar bill has been introduced for the next legislative session. Massachusetts remains the only state to grant all the rights and responsibilities of marriage, including the name, to lesbian and gay couples. The U.S. federal government refuses to legally recognize any same-gender couples, including those married in Massachusetts.
The New Jersey legislature this week also made the Garden State the ninth in the U.S. to outlaw discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations based on gender identity or expression. Governor Corzine is also expected to sign that measure into law. New Jersey will join California, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Minnesota, New Mexico, and Rhode Island in passing statewide transgender-inclusive non-discrimination protections. The District of Columbia has a similar law, as do more than 80 U.S. cities and counties.
Scotland's parliament has legalized adoption by same-gender couples. The vote was 101-6 with 6 abstentions. A move to exempt faith-based adoption agencies from having to consider same-gender couples was defeated. According to a report in the Scotsman newspaper, lawmakers attempted to appease religious opponents by adding a clause requiring those who adopt to have formed a stable family unit.
Back in the U.S., the senior pastor of a second Colorado megachurch has resigned after being outed. Following an anonymous phone call to his church, the Reverend Paul Barnes of the 21,000-member Grace Chapel in South Denver announced in a videotaped message to his congregation this week that he was stepping down. "I have struggled with homosexuality since I was a 5-year-old boy," Barnes said in the video, according to a story in the Denver Post, which was allowed to view the tape. "I can't tell you the number of nights I have cried myself to sleep begging God to take this away," the paper reported Barnes as saying. He and his wife have 2 daughters in their 20s. His resignation comes a month after national evangelical leader and Colorado Springs pastor Ted Haggard was outed by male sex worker Mike Jones, who's reportedly writing a tell-all book about the relationship. Barnes said in the video that he's been in counseling 3 times and never found anyone he could talk to, but that he continues to believe that sexual orientation can be changed.
Gay men and transgender people will no longer be classified as permanently mentally ill by Thailand's military, but they still won't be serving in the armed forces because they have sexual identity problems. All Thai men within certain age brackets are interviewed yearly to determine if they're fit to serve their 2 years of mandatory service. The military changed the wording in response to complaints from gay and transgender people who said the reference to mental illness on their military records limited their employment opportunities. It's uncertain, however, if sexual identity problems will be any better.
The release last week of the Iraq Study Group's recommendations to extricate the United States from that civil war-torn country has prompted the queer advocacy group Service Members Legal Defense Network to renew its call for repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. The Iraq Study Group reported that neither the Pentagon nor the CIA have enough people with foreign language skills to operate effectively in Iraq, which also hampers intelligence gathering. The SLDN cited a study by the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office that said approximately 300 language experts have been fired, at least 50 of whom specialized in Arabic, under the ban on openly gay or lesbian service members. In a press release, SLDN Executive Director C. Dixon Osborne urged the Bush administration to put the success of our military operations ahead of federal bigotry and work with Congress to dismantle the military's ban. A recent study by the Williams Institute at UCLA's School of Law estimated that about 65,000 closeted lesbians and gay men are currently serving in the U.S. Armed Forces.
Legislation destined to make news in 2007 includes a new civil unions bill in the Australian Capital Territory. The federal government used its power to overrule a similar measure passed by the territory's legislature earlier this year and has already expressed dissatisfaction with the latest proposal.
Same-gender partners will be given the same parental rights to fertility treatment as heterosexual couples in the new year, according to the British government's draft legislation published this week. Among the changes to current law would be the removal of the requirement that doctors consider the need for a father when deciding who should have access to fertility services. Clinics would also no longer be able to deny treatment outright to lesbians and single mothers.
But legislation being debated in Nigeria's House of Representatives would outlaw not just same-gender marriage, but imprison anyone who participates in such ceremonies, anyone associating with a known homosexual, or anyone distributing material deemed to promote a same-sex amorous relationship. Even two friends getting together in a private home, where at least one is a gay man or lesbian, could go to prison for 5 years under the bill. Engaging in homosexual acts is already illegal in Nigeria, subjecting those convicted to lengthy jail terms in the predominantly Christian South and execution in the Muslim-dominated North. Few in Nigeria's deeply closeted lesbi-gay community are publicly opposing the bill, and it's widely expected to pass.
But finally, we previously reported that activists in the once repressive but now queer progressive Australian island state of Tasmania had written to Tas-born Crown Princess Mary of Denmark, asking her to gently lobby for an anti-bias law in the Danish-administered semi-autonomous Faroe Islands. It's not known if she acted on that recommendation, but Faroese legislators this week voted 17-15 to outlaw discrimination against gays and lesbians. About 48,000 people, most with fundamentalist Christian beliefs, live in the tiny fishing community located between Scotland and Iceland. A similar proposal was defeated last year, with opponents arguing that homosexuality violates biblical teachings. But the issue resurfaced in September following a vicious assault against Rasmus Rasmussen, a popular 25-year-old openly gay musician and radio personality. Police officials were reluctant to investigate the case as a hate crime because, they said, discrimination against gays was not illegal there.
That's News Wrap for the week ending December 16th, 2006, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
With a spike. We dress up and go out when he comes to visit. Some people stare and say, what is it? Uncle Mike is different, but that's all right with me. I just know that I love him. I hope you agree. Mike likes to be called Michelle. We talk about my problems and he says, do tell. He really listens to what I have to say. We talk and talk and talk and talk and talk the whole day. It's what he's supposed to be. It's a little confusing, but I'm trying to understand what happens when Uncle Mike is no longer a man. For one thing that I know for real is how it's gonna make him feel. It's something that he really wants. So instead of an uncle, I'll have an aunt. He's a funny guy you'd really like. He wears women's clothes and he powders his nose. And he wears high heels with a spike. We dress up and go out when he comes to visit. Some people stare and say, what is it? Uncle Mike is different, but that's all right with me. I just know that I love him. I hope you agree.
This is J.E. Doyle, and that artist's name is Suzi Nash, S-U-Z-I Nash. And that's a cute little song from an album called Rainbow Sprinkles. The subtitle is Songs for Our Children, Celebrating Our Diverse Lives. And it's all songs about GLBT lifestyles focused on children.
This is Queer Voices.
This is indeed Queer Voices, and tonight we have the queer voice of Matt Laughlin joining us. Matt is a recipient of the Jefferson Award for his work with AIDS patients. The Jefferson Award is a program that was founded in 1972 by Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis and Senator Robert Taft Jr. to honor the dedication, sacrifices, and significant accomplishments of individuals in service to the American people. The award also strived to motivate new leaders in public service. The TV station KPRC News 2 is the Houston area sponsor, and the selection of the recipients is made by diverse representatives of area media resources. So, Matt, you were recently recognized by the Houston Committee for the Jefferson Award, and just how did that come about?
Hey, one of my housing clients nominated me, and I've been nominated before, but I just didn't win, you know, so I take it as an honor. It's not just an automatic process.
Well, being that our community is largely a community of volunteers, it's a very high honor indeed, but this is kind of considered the Nobel Peace Prize of volunteers because each locality has recipients for the award, and then there's a national recognition down the line.
Yeah, y'all root for me. I could go to Washington.
Go national.
Yeah, I might even pay for a motel room.
I think there's a Motel 6 down there.
Yeah.
So you're now eligible for possible nomination at the national level, mm-hmm. and each city selects one of the 12 monthly winners. So during this year, they've picked one person per month, and I guess you were picked in November?
Well, I was selected for the January 07, but they wanted to go ahead and announce it for World AIDS Day.
Right.
So they did it on, like, November 30th. They did an interview with Bill Baeza, which was
right.
played on Channel 2, then played over the weekend.
And for some people fighting with HIV or AIDS, life can really become a downward spiral resulting in homelessness. And that's one reason the work that you've done with the AIDS Housing Coalition is so important. Tell us a little bit how you got started on that?
Well, it started back when I was doing reform work in the Harris County Hospital District. We had Stephen Bradley, myself, Gene Harrington.
Oh, yeah, dear Stephen.
Susan Starnes, a lot of important people got together, and we started the Thomas Street Patient Council. And the overwhelming need there was for housing, and it was occupying all our time at the meeting, so we selected a subcommittee to investigate it, and then we decided that it really wasn't the hospital district's duty, and that we need to operate it as a separate entity. At that time, my partner of 16 years, Jodan Harper, was in hospice. And through that process, we gathered a lot of my Buddhist friends, and there were a lot of caretakers involved and, you know, community volunteers. And we got together, and that was the impetus of that and some case managers for starting the AIDS Housing Coalition Houston. This started in 1994.
And how did you get started? I mean, you just created this organization from nothing?
Well, I'm a, some people, you know, got together and we did some public relations, you know, and we put an ad in the Chronicle and the Houston Voice and stuff, and I called together a public meeting, and a lot of people just came together, and one of those was a landlord named Ted Kohlbaum, and he had a house, and he was trying to do it, but, you know, people were dying in the house because he wasn't, you know, running it right, and it was making him just sick to his stomach, you know, and he said, please come over and, you know, see if you
he
can
was
do
giving
something.
Them a place to live,
yeah,
but wasn't any other services.
Yeah, there wasn't any support services there, and, you know, the day I went in, there was, like, you know, they had one can of beets, you know, nobody eats those beets at the from the food bank.
I don't eat beets. No,
there was one can of beets up there. That was all there was the food in the house, and there was people's like sleeping in the floor, and there was this blanket, and you know, I went to go step over the blanket. I didn't want to step on somebody's possessions, and this man set up, and he absolutely looked like something out of Auschwitz, you know.
Wow.
And I said, oh my God, people can't live like this, you know. But I got my personal motivation when Randy Fields died. I'm not going to say which company, what one of the largest housing providers here in Houston couldn't provide him housing at that time, and he could, you know, was going to be stubborn about it, and he sat on a bus bench and for 3 days and died of pneumonia. And you know, that I said, no, that's not going to happen to anybody else here.
Well, back when you first got involved with this, it was really our community that created the programs to address the needs HIV, AIDS, and as wonderful as any of them are to this day, resources are still limited. So you did a couple of other efforts before you actually started the AIDS Housing Coalition. What was some of those?
Well, we did the Thomas Street Health Center Council was the big one. We got the building remodeled and got everybody through sensitivity training and, you know, went on with that. We did the Harris County Jail Medical Advisory Team Task Force on AIDS and TB, which changed, you know, that actually changed the law where Johnny Clevenhagen was putting people with no immune system in the infectious disease ward and actually murdering.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, you go in on a warrant, you're going to jail, and you're going to be in on this infectious disease ward. I mean, it's murder. And I told him so on TV, you know. And that started dialogue between the deputies and myself, and then we called together a lot of, you know, different people from the community, and we got excellent support from the media. And that's why it took flight. At one point, I got called in before a federal judge to testify, and I told him how at the hospital district, we had portable TB scanning machines in the lobby at Bentob, you know, because so many people had TB there, and they would just do a quick scan, and, you know, and so they bought some of those machines and put them in the jail and stuff. So if they suspect people are, you know, coughing and stuff, they put them through that process, you know, because it's a closed air system in
right.
the jail, you know. So that was one of the projects.
And that's so important as a public health issue.
Yeah,
for
I can't
anyone.
Imagine how many people's lives have been saved because of that effort, you know.
Yeah.
And but you know, the trick to that is they always have sandwiches at your meetings, you know. So Tom Schnorr, remember Tom Schnorr, the pharmacist? He used to be here in Houston. He would always like make sure we had food.
Yeah, I always say that campaigns and other efforts are run on pizza and chocolate.
Yeah, feed people and they will care.
That's right. You gotta have a lot. You gotta feed them.
Yeah, and so how did you get a house to use to begin with?
Well, we did garage sales. We borrowed money from the mob. Came in an envelope.
I don't want to hear anything I don't need to know. Okay, Matt.
Let's see. We did garage sales.
Just the three of us here.
Really? Let's see. We did a lot of garage sales in the beginning, and you know, some of the original board members, you know, kicked in a little bit, and we got started, and we went for about a year, and then we wrote. And I got good at writing grants, and I thought, okay, now I'm going to do business with the government. I'm going to write $1 million grant. And the organization that I chose to use that grant decided that they didn't need PWAs in their group. And so after they got their grant, they took off with it and
wow.
started started an apartment complex. It still stands here in town, but now AIDS Foundation Houston has control of it. So I'm happy with that. You know. But that was my first $1 million that I raised here. You know, I wrote that grant and stuff. It's still standing, still serving people. So I don't have anything to do with it. But, you know, the other day I ran into the manager of it, and they were getting ready for their client party, and he knew who I was. And he invited me over to meet everybody and stuff. And that was like, you know, real neat moment to see so many people being helped.
Right. And you told Bill Baeza, I think one of your clients recounted her situation and what it was like to be homeless and then to be able to come into a place. Her name is Denise.
Right.
She says, I got a safer room. I'm not scared to be by myself. I've got plenty to eat. And you said that it's more than that, that you kind of put them through an HIV 101 boot camp. So what's involved in that?
Well, you know, as you might imagine, I'm kind of connected in the community. I know with the resources. I know what's a joke and what's going to help them and stuff like that. I do it 5 minutes at a time so that they don't feel put upon. A lot of times I when I start cooking, people come in the kitchen and, you know, sit down and start talking to me and stuff. There's a little office, you know, off the kitchen there. And they'll sit in the office and sit there and we'll talk back and forth and we'll discuss what they did today. And, you know, so we'll see that you're going to the wrong place. You need to go over here, you know. And then when they start getting a few things under the, you know, confidence-building exercises under their belt, they start feeling better about themselves. And then by the time they get out of the program, some people are just there for a few weeks, you know, to get till the next check. Some people are there up to 90 days, which is the maximum. If I can't help you in 90 days, there's nothing else I can teach you. But it gives the people the time to save up a little money, you know, if they're inclined to do so. But it also gives them time to identify what their personal barriers are that are keeping them homeless. It's not always drugs and alcohol. I'll give you a good example. Like, people fall into a clique on the streets, and you need this clique to survive. But once you get off the streets, you have to get rid of that clique.
Right.
Your landlord thinks you're dealing drugs because you got all these weirdo people chicken hair running in and out of your door and stuff. And, you know.
Oh, God. Chicken hair.
It's a very accurate description.
Yeah. But,
that mine ever looks that way.
The first opportunity the landlord has to evict you out, he will.
Mm.
First time you can't pay your rent, you need him to wait a couple of weeks for that voucher. He's going to say, no, I can't do that. Pay your rent by the third or you know, evacuate. And then they find themselves homeless again. Also, the people use their toilet paper, eat their food bank food, you know, use up all the resources and their water and their electricity and, you know.
I recently heard a story, and I'm not sure who to credit for. It may have been on NPR. It may have been on KPFT. But someone was talking about how they had a relative who would come home and be there and get cleaned up and, you know, kind of rest up, but then would go back to the streets because that's where his friends were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your effort is to kind of get people out of this cycle, especially when they have compromised health systems such from HIV. And again, as we are so thankful, things are not as bad as they were as far as now there's medications and people are living longer. They're living with HIV. Some of them are not even developing AIDS.
Yeah.
But you only have 3 rooms?
Well, you know, back years ago, we had a space for 6. But then that was 2 to a room. And that was like, you know, it was like $190 a month, you know. And that truly was the emergency shelter. Now we're considered what's labeled as an emergency entry shelter. In other words, if there's a room available, you can get in the same day, next day. But, you know, somebody's got to pay the bills here. Our group decided in the very beginning we weren't going to go to the government. Because when you do business with the government, you have to follow every one of the rules, and it's rigid, and if you don't, you're not going to get reimbursed. And that just doesn't work. If somebody's having trouble getting their ID, it's almost impossible to get an ID anymore in the state of Texas. You have to have like 3 forms of ID to get an ID. If they're not registered in the case management system and have a number, you know, and all that takes time and paperwork to do, what are you supposed to do in the meanwhile? A lot of these people, you know, maybe they had housing and they went in the hospital and they were in there longer than they anticipated and they lost everything. Their landlord put their stuff out on the street corner. You know, I had a guy call me up. He had run out of money and they had moved down here. And, you know, I counsel people all the time on the cell phone, please don't move down here on one check. If that's all you've got, you're going to end up on the streets, you know. And people, you know, there was a major flood that day and this man at the motel, I'll remain nameless on the name of the motel, but told the man he didn't care if he drowned or not, to get the hell out of his room. If he can't pay for the room, he can get the hell out of the property, you know. And he called me up in tears and asked me, you know, could I help him? And so they featured that story in the Houston Voice, you know, years ago. But not everybody's in that, you know, drastic circumstance. Most of the time I get my referrals from case managers, you know, but I don't deal with the people who are seriously mentally ill or people. This is not a hospice.
Because you don't have that kind of resources.
I can only help a few people at a time.
But since you don't have such a bureaucracy and and you're not relying on government funding, it seems like you're able to take in some people who would otherwise slip through the cracks.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 24/7 job. We help people get into the system, I guess the best way I can describe it. And we give them time. We give them a place to stay. There's a telephone. There's cable TV. The rooms are, you know, sparsely furnished. You know, if anybody wants to make some donations and make it nicer, that, you know, that's how it works. I make sure they eat, because that's an important component. If you're always looking for food and wondering what you're going to eat that day, then that's where you spend all your energy. Also, the more protein that goes to a person's brain, it releases not only healing properties in the body, but the protein in the brain makes them think, and that way they can figure their cells out of the situation. I don't solve their problems. They got to solve their own problem.
Right.
I just sometimes give them direction. Sometimes people just get stalled, you know.
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing about all this, and you said that just yourself as an example of a person who's infected with HIV, how you've been able to do all this, I guess, learning the hard way.
But
by sharing that information, they realize that their life isn't over, and it gives them hope.
I've got a bunch of them. I've got a wall full of awards and, you know, citations and certifications. And I went to Project Leap and Red Cross and, you know, different things like that. And I showed all these people, and they're like, wow, that's neat. I said, but I did all this after I was HIV infected. None of this, you know. So, you know, your life's not over, you know. We had one guy, his partner had died, and we don't just deal with gay men, but you know, we deal with anyone that, you know, comes to the door, has a need, but there's, you know, particularly high population of gay men there. But this one man had lost his lover and actually just sat there for 90 days until the constable put him out in the yard, and he was dialing on a phone that was disconnected, sitting in the yard crying.
Oh.
And his friends came by and saw him sitting in the yard on his sofa, and, you know, they brought him over to the shelter and paid a couple of weeks' rent, you know, until he get his next check and stuff. And, you know, it's just some sad stories out there.
Rodney Mills, who's the president of the AIDS Housing Coalition of Houston, says that because of Matt's spirit, I stay and help. I didn't have the know-how to do it, but I want to be with him to help him continue his goal. So what is your goal, Matt?
Well, just to keep assisting people. I mean, my goal is for the AIDS to be cured and we don't have to deal with it anymore, and then I can turn it into, you know, gay and lesbian shelter or whatever, you know. I'd like somebody to underwrite the cost of the shelter so I can do it for a lesser fee,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So is it, so people that come there do pay?
Yeah. The rents range from anywhere from, you know, $35 to the maximum $99 a week, depending on the funding sources, you know. But, I mean, I live on Social Security. I can't pay everybody's way. Somebody asked me the other day, so we have a room open. Why don't you take somebody and put it in? How do I turn on the electric? How do I feed them if I don't, you know, if I don't have this extra income?
Right.
But somebody making a $100 donation to our organization, first of all, $100 of that, you know, all the pennies of that, every penny of that goes towards the clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, there's no overhead. The overhead is it's all in the shelter, you know.
And, you say you do this 24/7, and that this Jefferson Award is another pat on the back for you. But what else keeps you going?
People keep dying in my life with AIDS. I've lost over 100 friends. I've buried 3 husbands/lovers, you know, and I take that grief and that overwhelming, just, you know, blinding grief, and I turn it into positive energy. I'm a Buddhist, and I get up and chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo every morning, and I create my own energy, and I put it into the universe, and, you know, it keeps me on the middle path in life, and, you know, I don't get too crazy about it. I usually have what I need when I need it, and I rarely have more, you know.
Well, the one thing I haven't heard is, how do we get in touch with you?
Well,
if someone's out there needs help, or has a friend that needs help, and
or they want to offer help.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're reforming the board this year, and this is an important step where people can come in and meet once or twice a year, you know, and really make an impact on the organization. Because during the rest of the time, you're going around being our goodwill ambassador and trying to, you know, raise donations and stuff like that. Okay. This is how you contact me. First of all, it's 713-864. 1795. Okay, now if you can't remember that, we're in the Blue Book Resource Guide for the patients out there that might need help, guests. We're also in the White Houston White Pages, you know, listed under AIDS Housing Coalition Houston. We run a 24-hour a day or whenever I'm awake hotline, and I will.
So if you don't get him on the first try, eventually.
Just call back.
I don't take dirty calls, but I do take, you know, safe sex questions. You know, my favorite one's the guy calls up, how do you know you got the AIDS, you know?
So you become a lay counselor. in this position.
Yeah. You know, I used to, you know, back when we had insomnia and we had the whole 200 block of Tuam all rented up, I had all those cottages, Montrose cottages, we used to hire the new case managers who were coming out of school on a stipend, and I would train them.
Mm-hmm.
The new case managers were coming into the field. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I worked circles. They actually, at Montrose Counseling years ago, they asked me, they said, Matt, you can work circle around any of our case managers here, you know.
Yeah. we've been talking with Matt Laughlin, who is, what's your title there at the AIDS Housing Coalition?
I don't know.
The go-to guy.
Yeah. Ignore that bumbling fool behind the curtain.
When I asked him to give me a little bit of a bio, he says he's 45, a gay white male widower actively seeking a new husband.
Yeah, baby.
And one of the most eligible bachelors in Houston.
Yeah.
And he says, natural dyed blonde, muscular bear seeking love. And I was like, Matt, I asked for a bio, not your personal ad.
Oh, well, Craigslist.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Right. It's been an honor meeting you.
I came in my sleigh and I brought you guys some
chocolate. Yes, he's got his jingle bells.
I use Santa's sleigh the rest of the year.
That's how you do it.
When
he's not using it, you're the one running around with it. And we want to give him a hearty congratulations for being named a recipient of the Jefferson Award, a very prestigious award for volunteerism in Houston and possibly in the nation for his work with HIV, AIDS, and providing housing for those that are in so much need. Thanks for being with us on Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Make a return visit to Key West, Florida, where the natives are too laid back to be restless, later in the program.
This Christmas, my husband and I, come on, you all, we're camping out.
Once again, it's come around, the choir in the sleigh bell town. Father Christmas on his sleigh, dressed in red so bright and gay. Decorate the heart and home with Christmas light and snow and foam. Tinsel on the Christmas tree and on the top.
Because he's merry.
Camp up your Christmas.
La 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 la.
That was Four Poofs and a Piano exhorting you to camp up your Christmas.
She's a seasoned women's music icon.
I know I'm not your therapist.
He's a polished young rookie making waves in the Big Apple. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle. And they are just two of a talented crop of GLBT musicians we'll present on the Audiophile 2006 Year in Review.
Next time on This Way Out.
Hello, I'm Dr. Robert Simmons, Jr. of Lebanon, Ohio, a longtime This Way Out listener and donor. In memory of my mother, Mabel Simmons, I'm issuing a matching challenge to supporters of this volunteer-driven nonprofit operation. Please visit thiswayout.org to see how your help to keep this program on the air will now be worth twice as much. You'll also get a tax deduction if you're in the United States, and you'll find some unique holiday gifts there, too. Again, please log on to thiswayout.org. We'll all be very thankful.
There's no time to lose. This offer ends December 31st. Key West is a unique island community off Florida's southern tip. This Way Out's Steve Pride was fascinated by its easygoing attitude toward diversity and the social and economic impact its queer residents have had there. He found it hard to leave after last week's visit, so through the words of those he met there, we rejoin Steve's tour.
For your safety and comfort, please remain seated at all times, even while taking pictures. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the All Aboard from Ryan the Conductor, so we'll be on our way.
Hi, I'm Steve Smith. I work for the Florida Keys Tourism Office. I'm a sales manager for the gay and lesbian markets. When they did the census in 2000, one of the boxes that we all got to check if we chose to do it was, are you in a same-sex domestic partnership situation? When those numbers were compiled, you got to remember, we're 2 miles by 4 miles. We're closer to Cuba than to the United States of America. We had per capita more same-sex couples than any other city in the United States. Isn't that an interesting thing?
I'm J.T. Thompson, and I am the founder of One Human Family Foundation, which has a mission of promoting equality and unity for all people around the world. I came up with the words One Human Family, started printing them on bumper stickers. I printed 2,000 originally, and since then we've given out over 700,000 stickers all over the world. The City Commission, in October of 2000, made One Human Family the official philosophy of Key West. In many places, there is a tremendous pressure to be as average, as ordinary, as common, and blend in as much as possible. And in Key West, people are really rewarded for being creative and unique and different. So this really is the perfect community for One Human Family to take hold because there's very little in the way of judgment that goes on. We attract eccentrics here.
I'm Kathy Sheehan. My store is the Chicken Store, and I'm captain of the Rooster Rescue Team in Key West. It's kind of a traditional thing here to have the free-ranging chickens in the streets and under the houses and in the backyards. We have the most profound respect for the chickens. They are quasi-protected. Most people will stop you from doing anything harmful to them, stop you from chasing them and so forth, and then you try and take something to the state attorney and they lose the files or something. So
I have to ask before I leave, what exactly is a street chicken? Sounds like a chicken gone bad.
A street chicken is a chicken that belongs to himself. He doesn't belong to anybody else. And he lives by his wits and thumbs his nose at rules and regulations.
My name's Brad. I lived in Key West for 7 years. I do whatever I like, and Key West is a place that allows me to do that. And primarily, my life revolves around helping people heal. I do that through touch, and I do it by using sound, by using ceremonies that I create myself. So I'm somewhat of a magician, really, and in a way. I've been influenced a lot by Native American traditions and even by shamanic traditions of Siberia. I prefer to help people heal sexually and erotically, so I work with erotic energy, and I just chose to be a dancer because it allows me to do that with numerous people every night. But it seems to be much more more effective when I can do it one-on-one with someone in a much quieter place. So I've created a sanctuary in my home for sexual healing.
Who am I? Richard Dennison. The Queen Mother is a wild little pageant. It's actually the highest drag title that you can have on the island, and you have to really earn it. You can be pretty. You can have expensive gowns. You can have a wonderful talent number. But if you haven't given to the community, and I competed 3 years and was first runner-up 3 years in a row, and finally on the fourth try, I won it. After Wilma hit, we had like 6 foot of water in our home, and everything was destroyed. My other half and I are getting ready to walk out the house to a friend's home that was in the dry section. And as we were walking out, he said, if there's anything in this house that you want, you better grab it now. I turned around and looked, and the only thing I saw that I really wanted was my Queen Mother crown. I picked it up, I put it on my head, I grabbed my two pups, and down the street we walked, waving at the crowd as we walked through 5 foot of water.
This is a melting pot. It's just a wonderful place where people are free to be individuals as opposed to belonging to some kind of a group or having to affiliate themselves with a group of other people in order to get by. Here we really respect the individual as he or she is, pretty much on their own terms. And that's what's so beautiful about it.
My name is Carol Shaughnessy. You never know who you're going to be spending time with because this is such a wildly, cheerfully diverse community. You go into a restaurant and you might be sitting next to someone who has just arrived from Berlin, or you might be sitting next to the president of a bank, or you might be sitting next to a drag queen, or you might be sitting next to a drag queen who is the president of a bank. And everybody gets along. I know that sounds like a Pollyanna world, but it's absolutely true, and come down and see for yourself.
But according to Neil Chamberlain, even paradise has a downside.
It's very difficult to date in Key West. Basically, when we go into low season, there are so few tourists coming in that we begin to sleep with our locals, and we call that sister season. And during low season, people seem to, like, pair off. All of a sudden, you have a boyfriend for the summer. And then as soon as the fall hits and it starts getting cooler again and tourists start coming to town, I think it's time to be single again.
The Business Guild website is Gay Key West, FL for Florida, F as in Frank, L as in Lucy, GayQuestFL.com. You also can go to the Florida Keys website, which is FLA-Keys.com, or check out PistolAndEnema.com. That website always has a little bit of daily gossip. Whatever happened last night is on there. And you know what? We don't mind telling you, you were a mess last night when you were laying on the sidewalk. Or we might say, who was that gorgeous guy you were talking to or that gorgeous girl you were talking to? So it's about having fun here. And when you live here and you work here, it's like being on vacation every day. It spoiled me now because when I go on vacation, I keep wondering why I left home.
Well, that's the end of our stay in paradise. My thanks to Steve, Katha, Carol, Neil, Richard, and a very, very special thanks to Brad. Also thanks to the Island House Resort, where I stayed, for making an old guy comfortable with the words, clothing optional. And to Chef Michael at Antonio's Restaurant for making food so great, I don't regret any of the weight I gained. This is Steve Pride. Next time you're online, stop on by prideonscreen.com. Thanks for listening. I'm headed for Key.
And finally, from all of us to all of you, this musical holiday card, courtesy of Chris Williamson.
Greetings of the season. May we grant each other peace. May the blessings of this time be ours to keep.
For choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Sherry Lund, Rick Watts, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle. Four Poofs and a Piano, the Carnival Steel Drum Band, the Village People, and Chris Williamson performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out anytime, exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from you, our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to help keep this program on the air. Remember, your support is worth twice as much to us until the end of the year, and you can choose from some special CD thank you gifts, too. You can email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to us at Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Happy holidays, and thanks for listening on KRFC, Fort Collins, Colorado, WLUW, Chicago, Illinois, CITR, Vancouver, British Columbia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please do stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
I never learned to walk right. I only
figured we should probably play that one again, because the first time that I tried to play it, the machine decided about halfway through that it didn't want to play anymore.
So we used a different machine, and there you are. The song was called Not Gay Enough for You. It was Sean Thomas from his brand new album, Faith Unashamed.
This is Queer Voices.
I think one of the, this is Jennifer, I think one of the wonderful things about our show is that occasionally someone will write in to comment about our show, and JD got an email from one of our listeners about the show.
The show you're going to hear tonight.
That's right. What you're going to hear tonight, this is a comment, a pre-commentary on it.
This person emailed me, he heard it. Or she, I don't know. He or she did not sign it.
Well, that's always good.
Always a good sign.
That's always a good sign that it's not going. It doesn't bode well when they don't sign it.
They emailed me, and it goes on for a while. It says, okay, so what exactly does having cult followers singing about Jesus Christ have to do with queer music heritage? Christianity is a cult based on obedience to a heterosexist dogma, God the Father and all that. It has disdain for civil rights and insists on authoritarianism. Further, do we need to remind you of the damage that heterosexist dogma and its followers have done to gay people? I turned on the Christmas show thinking I'd hear gays and lesbians creatively mocking this bizarre cult that has done us so much harm. Instead, it sounded like a turned-on Pat Robertson's Christmas special. Christians, gays, and lesbians, yeah. Gay men singing about babe in the manger, yuck. Double yuck. Babies, we don't need any more babies on this planet, thank you very much. Gay men praising this breeder's holiday is just too bizarre. Homosexuals singing about homosexuals, please. Truly, I do not need to hear any more about the great heterosexist sky god daddy and his demigod son Jesus, nor the cult that so dearly loves to make our lives a misery. How about an entire show of atheists and humanists singing about how you can still be a good person without being part of some Abrahamic cult?
Why don't you play us some Christmas music there, J.D.?
Well, and looking at the playlist, there are only two songs in the whole show that are remotely Christian. Like, boy, this person is on a tear.
Well, I think they need to work on anger management.
Yeah, like, take a breath. Take a breath.
Either that or maybe they should learn how to express themselves better.
Well, I answered him. I wrote back and said, we have a very varied culture.
Amen to that.
Just wow.
Yes. I enjoyed the music earlier. The rainbow sprinkles. Rainbow sprinkles. Mm-hmm. That was so neat. And the one about the uncle, I told you earlier that sounded like what my niece was singing to me once upon a time.
I heard that. I have to play that for Jennifer. In the world.
I only hope my niece is listening. Oh, it's time.
It's time. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
never fed. Maybe you can bring us all hope this year. Visions of sugar plums have disappeared. Do you remember sleigh riding in the snow? Dancing all night to baby, please come home. Today's celebration is bittersweet. There's muggers and children all in the street. I wanna know, where do lonely hearts go? Nobody ought to be all alone on Christmas. I'm all good, but I'm the same, you see.
I'm here on Queer Music Heritage wishing you a very queer Christmas.
And that was a rousing start to part one of my Queer Christmas special. That's right, this is only the first part, and if you stick around, you'll hear Christmas music that you won't hear anywhere else. I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. And my show, Queer Music Heritage, is usually only heard on the fourth Monday of the month. But again this year, I'm doing two Christmas shows, and I'll try to bring you gay-related Christmas music that is entertaining and sometimes obscure. And the artist you heard first is certainly not obscure. It's hard to believe that RuPaul first began recording over 20 years ago. And I think she has one of the very best queer Christmas albums. It's called Ho 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 and was released in 1997. You'll want to stick around for the end of this show as I'm closing it with a brand new Christmas song from her. But next is a trio going by the name Betty. In 2004, they released a CD called Snowbiz. And from it, you'll hear snow folk and something they call the Dreidel Jingle Fiasco.
There's no people like snow people. They smile.
Jingle all the way. Hey, oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, 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 jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey, oh, what fun it is to ride in a...
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. Come on here, you're so delightful. It's winter, it's winter, it's winter wonderland. Oh, the weather dashing outside is frightful. Come on here, you're so delightful. Oh, what fields we go.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey, oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, 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 jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey, oh, what fun it is to ride in a jing, 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 one-horse open sleigh. Hey, 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 hey.
since it's after Labor Day and the Christmas season has officially begun, our first song. Thank you very much. There are carolers in Chile, Chad, and China, ringing bells for carolers in Spain. Someone in Djibouti or Burundi or Gabon has thoughts for some old lover in Bahrain. In Congo and Comoros, the young ones raise a chorus to kids in Poland and Peru. They sing Noels in Tunbridge Wells and hymns in Timbuktu. Christmas time,
Christmas time.
Around the world, joining hands in every land around the world. From the poles to the equator, the Antilles less or greater, and from Alaska to Cape Horn, we celebrate the day a child was born. There are Christmas trees in Finland, France, and Fiji. Candlelights on branches in Brazil. Someone in Botswana or Barbados or Bhutan gets a special chance to eat his fill. In Luxembourg and Laos, they're quiet as a mouse, for Santa's nearly on his way. With holly from Bengali and some pearls from Oyster Bay. Christmas time,
Christmas time.
Around the world, joining hands in every land around the world. From the forests of Westphalia to the deserts of Australia, the atmosphere is so sublime. For all the world is one at Christmas time.
Following Betty were the team of Steve Shocklin and Jim Brochu. Steve's well known for his musical, The Last Session, and in 2002, he and his partner Jim were in Houston for a production of their show, The Big Voice, God or Merman, from which that song came. Next, I'm pleased to share with you a new artist named Roger Kuhn. His debut album came out this year, and he's already working on his next, which will be a holiday CD. That's set for next year, but he slipped out a couple songs from it, and one is called Every Year Around Christmas Time.
Every year around Christmas time, I think of you. I think of how you're doing, and I pray that it's good. I sit down to write my Christmas cards, and I place yours on top. If I had one wish for Christmas, it would be for love. Oh, Santa, please send me some love for Christmas. Peace on earth, goodwill to men on Christmas. Silent night, angels fill in the sky on Christmas. And we'll all join hands and sing, 'cause peace has come. Every year around Christmas time, I start to cry. I think of when I last saw you, a last goodbye. I sit down to wrap my presents, and I place yours on top. If I had one wish for Christmas, it would be for love. Oh, Santa, please send me some love for Christmas. Peace on earth, goodwill to men on Christmas. Silent night,
so tender and mild. Sleep in a heavenly peace. Sleep in a
Roger Kuhn. Nomalee Brennett is one of our most prolific artists. She's released 5 albums since 2002, and I think they're all excellent. And in 2004, she released a Christmas single called Sugar Plum Dreams.
Child's guitar with strings just as bright as the Bethlehem star. And someone had written a message inside on a card. It said, this is the gift that we give to you. In return,
Nomalee Brennett. And another transgendered artist is Joshua Klipp, who just released his first recording, a CD EP containing this very nice song, December Snow.
My apologies to you, didn't mean to fade the trust between us, passion and love, what was I thinking of? Hard to believe, I broke the promises, the vows we made, I'm so ashamed of my foolish ways.
Next up are two songs that I think are very fun. They are from a concert from 2004 by the North Coast Men's Chorus from Cleveland. The idea was to do Christmas songs as if they would have been done by our Broadway writing legends, in particular, Candor and Ebb and Jerry Herman. I wish they would have released this whole concert on CD, but one of their members sent me these tracks, so at least we can get a taste of it. the North Coast Men's Chorus.
Now then, let's go back to Broadway again for our next number. And the work of Candor and Ebb. What if Candor and Ebb had composed I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
Follow us, John.
here's another very different version of We Three Kings.
We three kings delivering the mail, rain or sleet, and sometimes in hail. Christmas season is the reason you'll hear a mournful wail. Oh, catalogs and gifts appear, big and small, they're all right here. Knees are shaking, backs are aching, what we need's a new career. Forever ceasing, never can you say workmen's come. Oh, catalogs and gifts appear, big and small, they're all right here. Knees are shaking, backs are aching, what we need's a new career. Simplifying, keep on trying, see now it's not so hard. Oh, catalogs and gifts appear, big and small, they're all right here. Knees are shaking, backs are aching, what we need's a new career.
That was Ann Reed from her CD from 2001 called Not Your Average Holiday. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. And that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. Next is Christian artist Danny Riddle with two songs he recorded in 1986 from his album just called Christmas with Danny.
Ding dong.
Everybody likes to take a holiday, and everybody likes to take a rest. Spending time together with the family, sharing lives of love and happiness. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King and He was born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember it's your birthday. A celebration's coming because of something good. A celebration we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem. The greatest celebration of them all. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King and He was born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Come on, ring those bells, light the tree. Jesus is the King and He was born. they say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Come on, ring those bells at the tree. Jesus is the King and he was born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Jesus, we remember this your birthday.
Was Danny Riddle with Come On, Ring Those Bells and Worship the King. I played this next song on my very first Queer Christmas show back in 2000, and while I certainly have enough material by gay artists that I do not need to repeat songs, I can't resist bringing this one back. It's by B.D. Wong, known more for his performances on Broadway and television. It's called Wishing You a Drag Queen Christmas.
You've been under the weather for a long time and haven't been able to shop. This room's a bit drab. You need something fab, something really over the top. Christmas is a time for overdoing, a season when more is more. So don't be distressed, you're not looking your best. That's what makeup is for.
green Christmas, full of tinsel and glitter and bows, with glamorous gowns complimenting your crowns and diamonds on your hose. A very special drag queen Christmas, full of champagne and caviar. When you trim your tree in festive finery, may your hair be as high as a star. 'Cause you deserve to be gorgeous after all you've been through. With platform heels so high, you'll look angels in the eye, and they will sing back up for you. I'm wishing you a drag queen Christmas, with lipstick as red as Santa's suit, mascara for days, fingernails all ablaze, and baskets filled with fruit. A very special drag queen Christmas, with champagne and caviar. When you trim your tree in festive finery, may your hair be as high as a star. May your hair be as high as a star. May your hair be as high as a star in the sky. May your hair be as high as a
B.D. Wong's song is from a 1993 double CD called Cabaret Noel, A Broadway Cares Christmas. Broadway Cares is a charity group of mostly Broadway artists that raise money to fight AIDS. And I'm going to use that song about drag queens to set up the next artist. She is Jackie Beat, and I played a number of her tracks from her first Christmas album on my 2004 show. Her CD that year was called Jackie Beat is Coming to Town and was packed full of Christmas parodies, most of which were not ready for radio. That's even more true with her new CD called Jackie Beat is a Holiday Ho. I was able to find a couple tracks that I could share, all about Kwanzaa.
I want to ask a quick question here. Does anybody here celebrate Kwanzaa? The reason I ask is because there's a lot of rumors going around, some pretty ugly rumors going around about Kwanzaa. One of them being that it is a made-up holiday. Have you heard this? There's all these conspiracy theories about how it's just a made-up holiday that doesn't even really exist. And there's these very elaborate websites like www.kwanzaadoesn'teveanreallyexist.com, www.kwanzaadoesn'treallyexist.net. Yeah. These websites are very elaborate, very well done, very, very, very impressive. They even have, like, photocopies of transcripts from meetings that prove that supposedly Kwanzaa was merely the brainchild of some marketing whiz over at Hallmark Cards. And I've read the transcripts, and they go something like this. Hey, we got to do something over here to get the black dollar. Well, what are we going to do? We need a black holiday. Well, what kind of black holiday? I don't know. Me either. What are we going to do? I don't know. Hey, we better get on it. Okay. Hey, what's going on? Okay. I'm paraphrasing. How about Martin Luther King Day? Martin Luther who? Exactly. Hey, we're white. Don't get mad at the performer. Hey, this is real stuff. And they said, we need something, you know, that's not very fun. How about something festive? Festive? That makes me think of Christmas. Oh, why don't we do, like, Black Christmas? You can't call it Black Christmas, you idiot. Hey, don't talk to me like that. Oh, Christmas. Krinza. Quinza. Kwanzaa. That's it. What are you talking about? Kwanzaa. We can't call something Kwanzaa. Do it. And we're going to spell it with a K. What? Yeah. And a W and a Z. You got to be... Do it. And three A's. Okay, now you're going... Do it. Okay, but we're trying to make money, and now we've got this new holiday called Kwanzaa. We're going to have to bring artists in and make a whole new set of cards and design everything. No. Just take that old Christmas card. See the one with the reindeer on it? Yeah? We'll take that and change it to a gazelle. We can't do it. And that Hanukkah card over there with the menorah, just change the colors. That is ridiculous. Do it. So those are the rumors. That it's made up. But that's not true, ladies and gentlemen. Kwanzaa is real. It is a real holiday to celebrate the community, diversity, and stuff. And it would be very obvious for a Caucasian superstar such as myself to get up on this stage and do a campy, cheap song mocking and belittling the precious holiday of Kwanzaa. But I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. I will, however, sing a song that is informative, educational, and packed full of facts that have been verified by various members of the African American community. It's Kwanzaa! You thought I didn't know about it, didn't you? Because I am Caucasian now, didn't you? It's time to learn about it now, honky. Come on! Hey! It's Kwanzaa! What's up? Time to learn. Kwanzaa means first fruits of the harvest. From December 26th through January 1st. The Kwanzaa greetings are in Swahili. They're kind of hard to pronounce and should be rehearsed. Umoja, Kujichagulia. Hold it, don't forget Ugema. Hold it, what about Ujamaa? Nia? Hold it, Kaumba? Hold it, the last one is Imani, honey. Hey, it's Kwanzaa. That's right. Now guess what? Kwanzaa was founded in 1966. A Kanara holds seven black, green, and red candlesticks. They serve sweet potato pie at most celebrations. And many other foods from these African nations. Like Niger, Mozambique, Madagascar, Zimbabwe and Zanzibar, Burundi and Ethiopia, Somalia, Botswana, Uganda, Rwanda.
Jackie Beat, talking about Kwanzaa. And that was the very first Kwanzaa song I've acquired by a gay artist. This next artist does not shy away from politics, and you have to hand it to an artist who uses the song Frosty the Snowman and puts in his own lyrics criticizing the government. Here's Jeffrey Berenger from his album from last year called Vote Santa. His version of the song is called Katrina, the Class 4 Hurricane.
You know Ivan and Francis and Charlie and Mitch, Hugo and Andrew and Jean, what a witch. But oh, can you recall the most famous hurricane of all? Katrina, the class 4 hurricane, at 140 mile per hour winds. Some losers in the Christian right said she'd come to wipe out those who'd sinned. Cause obviously Mardi Gras is just too fun and way too gay.
So God must have sent a hurricane to teach New Orleans the error of its ways. But just as conservatives started feeling smug, the real truth came to light. While the country was spending billions on Bush's disastrous war, FEMA had been castrated by the conservative right. The country watched in horror as Bush's government failed the entire Gulf Coast. Maybe if conservatives spent our money better, we'd be celebrating heroes instead of looking for scapegoats. Now on foggy Christmas Eve, there's one thing left to say. George Bush and your corporate cronies, won't you please just go away?
Go away!
Give us back our country, so we can start to clean up this mess and build a government that cares about its people and not just corporate profits.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, America!
Okay, up next is a song that has nothing whatsoever to do with Christmas, but I just can't wait to share it. Let's call it My Christmas Present to You. This recording is very, very rare, and while it was recorded in 1982, it was just released this month on iTunes only. Here's the reason it's so rare and historic. It's by Christine Jorgensen. Now, most of you should know that Christine was the first person to receive major media attention when she had a sex change operation. That was in 1952. And in 1958, an interview with her was released on a vinyl LP called Christine Jorgensen Reveals. But that was the extent of it. While she made herself a career in show business for almost the rest of her life, no recordings of her nightclub shows surfaced. Until now. In the show, she does some singing, tells stories about celebrities, and does some impressions. The song you'll hear in this short sketch is, for Christine Jorgensen, I think very appropriate.
I'll tell you, it's kind of exciting for me to be back in Hollywood. You know, when I first played here was about 1957, 58. I can't really pinpoint the date. I can, really, but I have to look it up. Because I came into Hollywood many years ago to play at the Interlude, and it was so much fun. Frances Faye was downstairs in the crescendo, banging out her piano, singing Gay, 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 Frances Faye, and one of the great nightclub performers of all time, Frances Faye. And the old building was so thin, the walls and everything, Frances' voice would permeate through the floor during my performances upstairs. And I'll tell you, I'd hear her down there, and she'd say, Christine, eat your heart out. And I'd say, the old bag is down there doing it again, you know. And we could hear each other through the floor. Well, when I first came out in 1969 to live in California, I came out long before 69. Oh, dear. Sunset Boulevard and the Sunset Strip were exciting places in those days. I guess they're still exciting, but I guess I'm getting older and it's different. But we had the big nightclubs, the Trocadero, the Ciro's, we had them all. But you know, many years ago, when I was playing at the Latin Quarter in New York, a beautiful show opened on Broadway. It was called Flower Drum Song. In it, Pat Suzuki sang this wonderful tune, which became my theme song. See if you remember it. I'm a girl, and by me that's only great. I am proud that my silhouette is curvy, that I walk with a sweet and girlish gait, with my hips kind of swivelly and swervy. I adore being dressed in something frilly. When my date comes to get me at my place, out I go with my Joe or John or Billy, like a filly who is ready for the race. And I have a brand new hairdo with my eyelashes all in curl. I float as those clouds on air do. I enjoy being a girl. When men say
I enjoy being a girl by Christine Jorgensen. And that was a very edited preview of it. As the album will only be available as an iTunes download, the producer asked me not to give away the whole song. perfectly understandable. I encourage you to explore this part of our history by getting the whole recording. Back to holiday songs. I've got one more song in the show. But before I get to it, I want to thank you all for tuning in. You can see photos of all the artists and recordings on tonight's show and view the playlist at my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. And you can also hear the show and all my past Christmas shows there as well. If you go to my site, you'll find a longer version of this show with additional songs, some of which, well, I just can't play on broadcast radio if I want to keep doing this. I'm doing 3 Christmas shows this year, one found on my site only, so there's lots to listen to this year. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, you can write to me at qmheritage@aol.com, and I'd love to hear from you. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. And I'll be back next Monday, Christmas Day, with part 2 of my Queer Music Heritage Christmas Special. I started this show with RuPaul, and already told you that I would end the show with her. Last year, she released a really neat Christmas song, and it showed up as an extra track on her remix single of the song People Are People, which came out just too late to include on last year's show. So I've been saving it. Here's RuPaul and I Just Can't Wait for Christmas.
Listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Polinski. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.